This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandhu. Karamjit Singh is here with me today from Digital News Asia. Now, Karam, I see that you're trying to bring in more users or more listeners to your show, and then also, you know, more users to your website.
Rightly so, man.
And, you know, you're trying to drive more traffic because you're starting off with Anthony Tan's situation of MyTaxi, the founder that he finds himself in at the moment. Because what do you do with 8.3 trillion rupiah?
Exactly,
you're giving us a number here that, you know, 8.3 trillion rupiah is a lot of money.
It's mind-boggling. It's not even Monopoly money. You don't even get that many, you know, plastic notes on Monopoly or paper. But so I'm being a bit cheeky because so he has raised, it was announced yesterday, unfortunately, not on DNA, because he gave the exclusive to TechCrunch, you know, of course, one of the world's top 150 sites, and to other regional tech media. Mm-hmm. That's fine. The amount he raised now is $350 million, okay? Ooh. And that's
US dollars.
Yes, US dollars. Mm. And that's in addition to the $250 million announced in November. Now, what's interesting here is they actually said they raised more than $350 million, which, to, as a journalist, it's a bit annoying when you see more than. What does that mean? You know,
what is it?
$351 million US?
Or 400,
yeah.
What is it? Yeah.
So they deliberately, I don't know what's the strategy behind that, because, you know, the VCs and the bankers all talk, and people in the industry will know what's the actual amount.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's just a bit of annoyance, because I cannot give readers, and in your case, listeners, right, the actual amount of money. But whatever it is, you add 350 with the 250 they raised in November, that's 600 million US, and you're right. If you just go online, though, like I did currency converter, and I just use Indonesian rupiah, because that's a big mark. It's not the world's fourth largest country by population.
Yeah.
And they're obviously in a very strong battle there against other app companies. So it comes up to 8.3 trillion, right? Mm. So what do you do with that?
What do you do with it?
Yeah. It's incredible. So I asked some VCs that, look, it's an incredible amount of money for Southeast Asia. It's not a market of 600 million. Let's forget about that. It may be a consumer market at various levels, mm-hmm. but when you're talking about an app like this, which is used for transportation right now, you know, you're looking at a middle class. And the middle class, according to McKinsey and even BCG research, is about maybe 90 million in Southeast Asia. And of that, how many people, you know, use cabs?
Exactly.
So the number, if you want to drill down, starts getting smaller and smaller, but it's still substantial. And the model can scale. So I asked the VC, look, are they going to be making acquisitions? Because you've raised so much money, it can. He said they actually don't need to, unless regulations in a country, you know, require you to enter the market, you know, by not on your own, but you got to acquire, take a stake in it, be a partner,
A
partner meaning then you got to take a stake, right? I don't think that's the case. I've not read about that in Southeast Asia in the taxi, you know, transport market. But so apparently it's not going to be acquisition. They're just going to grow organically. But of course, with this kind of money, you're just nuclear hydrogen powered growth now, right?
Yeah.
And you see that last month, I think they and Uber then did this. Each had their own little marketing gimmick to attract customers, right? Grab Taxi, although they call Grab Taxi, they're Malaysians, and you can see their Malaysian roots come through when they counted Grab Taxi's ice cream promo with, you know, durian, man. Right, take our caps and you get durian for free or whatever. So so obviously a lot of money is going into marketing and convincing people to use their product. Is it only going to be a taxi app? I seriously doubt it. You cannot possibly be, because remember in January I spoke to Key Hawk, who is the CEO of Vertex Ventures out of Singapore, and they were one of the investors in the last round. Before that even, and then they're now invested in these last three rounds apparently.
All right.
And he says that, look, these guys are still trying to find a business model. Can you imagine? And any entrepreneur out there listening is just going to sit down and say, what? They're still trying to figure out a business model, and yet they've raised this kind of money? Because I think the idea is that there's only going to be one winner in this region, maybe not even two. And in this region, I think people have enough smart people think that maybe Anthony Tan and his team can make, you know, a Grab Taxi in Malaysia, My Taxi, you know, that win in this region. So they're willing to bet money behind them.
All right.
And interestingly enough, with this insane valuation, I asked the VC, you know, they're raising money because they say we've got Uber coming, they've raised so much, we need the ammo to fight them. But paradoxically, also, while they're afraid of the competition from Uber, it is the existence of Uber and the valuation it has gotten that has helped them, you know, raise this kind of money too.
Yeah.
And the VC said, yes, they've actually, you know, Uber, in a way, has helped them, coming into this region, has helped them raise that kind of money. So it's be interesting to see where they go. I think they're already offering transportation services, like goods. You can get goods delivered, through the cabs too. And I think you got to outfit the cabs specially. And a lot of cabs now, they've got space. In your booth, maybe in Malaysia, you've got your LPG, tanker, cylinders, a lot of them. But on the roof, you can put those kind of cool little containers, right? You can build those in. So maybe you're going to see now cabs, having that. And they've got enough money, they can outfit cabs like that. Mm. I don't think they're going to go the way and set up their own cab company. That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense, yeah, at all.
But a lot of things are going on. I think their business model is also going to go to like the old economy, it's interject with the old economy and see how that works out. But just the
amount of money that they have at the moment.
There's just huge pressure on Anthony. And I think one of the VCs told me that, one of the large VCs said that, look, for someone to come in with this amount of money and probably at a higher valuation, it's going to be a criteria that when there's any money, to be taken out, these guys are the ones who get their money first. So there are various conditions stipulated, right?
Exactly.
And it's going to be by milestones also. So you got to hit those milestones to get the money. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he's in a fabulous position. That having been said,
it is a very good problem to have.
It's a very good problem. It's in a great position to make this work and compete and beat Uber. Mm-hmm. And it'll just be an amazing game to see. And by the way, for everyone out there, one of the first stories we wrote on DNA when we were in live 2012 was about the then, we used the word co-founders, because the story of Grab Taxi is that if you read that article, you just need to search Grab Taxi and then search for Fitri, F-I-T-R-I Abdullah, because Fitri Abdullah, at that time in Maxis, now the CEO of Mesinaga, Maxis had partnered with them for something. But the point is that we wrote a bit about the background, and really they were studying, they were doing their Harvard, maybe executive management program. It was Anthony Tan, another lady who's with McKinsey, and a third person in their business. I won't call them co-founders, they just were part of this executive management program, had to come up with something for a business plan competition within that program. And then, their taxi app thing, struck a chord, and they were surprised they got second. And what happened is they came back and they had other commitments. So the girl from McKinsey left right away because she's on scholarship. She had to go back and join McKinsey. And Anthony Tan had to rejoin the family business because he's a grandson of the Nissan, Scion, the patriarch of the Nissan family. Went back, and then a third person from the tree group and actually left and pulled out. He wasn't interested. He said, at that stage, you cannot blame him, right? I don't think this is going to work.
Course.
I don't put in money or investment into this. So it was left these two. But one, what it is, they gave some money and they said, look, let's just try to build it and then get someone else in. And that's where Aaron Gill came in. Mm. And the other co-founder at that time, if I got his name right, is Chiu Wei Chuan. And he was ex-McKinsey, and he was a colleague of the McKinsey-based founder at that time. And her name, if I can get it here, is... I know Frida will say, Karam, you can't get people's names right.
There's a
lot of names. So anyway, so this is what it is. I think her name is in the article there, so you can go and check it out.
Right.
But so that's what is going on. They got two other people to run the show for them. Until it began to gain traction, then Anthony Tan came in and played a full-time role. And of course, that helped, right, when the original founder comes in. Of course, Aaron Gill is still there. And, Chiu Wei Chuan actually left and he went to, in Chicago, whether Kellogg School of Management to do his master's.
Wow.
He's done now. Whether he's back in Malaysia or somewhere else, I don't know. But it'd be interesting to ask him if he regrets, leaving my taxi, right,
all
at
right.
that point.
All right. Just very quickly before we go to a break, FusionX is about to get into the Philippines now.
Yes, yes. So the founder is, co-founder is Ivan Tay. And he's one of our Digirati 50.
Mm-hmm. So he's been on the show.
He's been on the
times.
Show. Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Great. And he should, he's got a great big data growth story.
And you'll be speaking during the Enterprise Breakaway, which is happening on September 11 as well.
Oh my goodness, awesome. So you'll be speaking at What's Next as a panelist only, but later about that. But we interviewed him in January of this year. So that's why this story is interesting. So he's a big data play, right? And he's, I think, the leading Malaysian entrepreneur-led company in this big data play. His company is listed in London's AIM market. So he speaks to GoTenU in February of this year, and they announced their full year results in September 30 last year. And profit only went up by maybe $500,000 from $9 million the year before to 2013 to $9.5 million last year. And he says, look, this now period is a period of investment because we're trying to cement and strengthen our big data and analytics products. And then they launched those products, a few months ago. And voila, you've got like 25 customers, including Aeon Group in Malaysia. Mm. They've got AirAsia. But then no one makes much money when you service AirAsia, right? So they really squeeze you. But having said that, That is giving them traction now. And you can see this in the fact that their first 6 months results ended March 31st. Their revenue increased by 26% to 31 million and gross profit jumped to 25 million, you know, up by 31%. So these new big data products they're bringing into the market are beginning to gain traction. And that lends way to Ivan Tay's assertion back in February that we aspire to grow our customer base by 10 times, you know, in the next 3 years. So this is the early stages of showing that that's going to work. And it's a really good story. So Philippines, very quickly, is because although the ICT spend in the market is small, it's a market of 100 million people.
They just crossed
100 million. And they're ranked 12th in the world in terms of population. So we've got the 12th and 4th ranked most populous nations in the world, you know, as our neighbors.
Wow.
But the ICT spend is low. I think the ICT spend, according to Gartner, is like... So it's 30% of Malaysia's. I think they project 28 billion this year, Philippines. Mm. Malaysia is 65 billion. So the IT spend market is small. So why is he going in? Because the retail market, the shared services and outsourcing market is booming. Of course, Philippines is very big in outsourcing and shared services. But the Philippines Retailer Association says that they expect 40 malls to have opened by the end of this year. Mm-hmm. And these 40 malls are just in the space of these last 2 years. And with the projected retail sales of 143 billion. Now, when you've got somebody like Ivan Tay coming in with a big data solution, it can give you a lot of insight into what's going on in your stores and with customers, right? And retailer, he thinks retailers want that, so that's why he's in. And he's already in the US, in the UK, in Hong Kong, in Thailand, in Singapore, and in Malaysia. So very interesting. This is definitely a company to look forward to and see how they grow from there.
All right. We'll take a short break with Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia. And when we come back in just a moment, we'll talk about the launch of Unify's new packages because you went for the event. Alpha Startups as well. This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Big Fortune Movers. BFM 89.9.
Big Fortune Movers, just like Anthony Tan from MyTaxi.
Hopefully he will make fortunes for his investors. Hopefully. The pressure's on.
Now, key takeaways from Alpha Startups pre-accelerator pitch night. It was run by 1337 Ventures.
Run by Bikesh, right? Mm-hmm. So that was the graduation night the day before yesterday. And I used night because it's at night.
I saw a picture of you talking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I wasn't talking. Oh my God, what's going on? Anyway. So it was interesting. I think it's once in a while... Jeff, it's kind of interesting to go for these events, especially during the pitch event, because that's the culmination of them going through, you know, X days. In terms of Alpha Startup, which is a pre-accelerator, it's 5 days of full, you know, grilling and refining. And just to recap, the reason why Bikesh set this up is because he was already doing a lot of mentoring and he just finds so many entrepreneurs coming in, you know, first-time entrepreneurs maybe, just not prepared, just not being able to get the basics right. Mm. So this pre-accelerator is to help you just get the basics right. And I think it definitely has worked because in my first story with him back last year, he used the word that a lot of them don't even know what government funds out there that you can tap. But you see, even that has evolved because I was really happy. The thing that struck me from the 10th pitch that I heard the night before was that only one person used the word government. Can you imagine? They were all, you know, targeting, you know, the fair play private market out there. Not saying I want to go government, they give me a contract, or I'm going to try to get government to be a user. No. Only one person mentioned government just in two lines.
Mm.
And I was really impressed with that. I think because he's telling them, look, if you're going to build a business, don't expect favors from anyone. You know, just build it
as it is
on merit. Look for an opportunity, a pain point in the market, identify it, and see if you can build a product and build a team that can build a product to solve that pain point in the market. So great job to him. Very good pitches. I thought there were some weaknesses, and the main one was that I think they were just over generous with their timelines of how they're going to expand. Like one entrepreneur said, you know, 3 months Malaysia, 6 months ASEAN,
wow.
9 months, 12 months the world. And I had to put up my hand and I said, look, whatever it is you're smoking, you know, it's damaging your brains, man. There's no way this is going to work. I mean, even you had cloned, you cloned Jeff Bezos and you've got Zuckerberg
still,
and you've got, you know, Mr. Jobs there. Mm. You're no way you're going to achieve that kind of, you know, attraction in 12 months. Mm. So
look at MyTaxi with, you know,
yeah, started in 2000,
8.3
yeah.
trillion
exactly.
US.
Now,
rupiah.
Right? They started in 2011, right?
Yeah.
In 2012, they were still building the product.
Exactly.
In fact, in 2012, after Aaron Gill came in, I think 10 months later when I spoke to him, he said it actually took another 10 months to refine the product.
It takes
right?
time, of course.
Huge amount of work going in. But anyway, among the key takeaways, great. So there was only one mention of government funding, excellent. And you know one thing? Everybody, whether young or young as in maybe defined as 35 and below, right? Mm. And of course, you're still young above 35, but this is really the digital citizens, right? And even those older, what's so interesting is that everyone is now looking to apply a digital overlay to solve real-world problems. If you see a pain point, you straight away think, how can I digitize as much of the process as possible? You know, from the young lady wearing the 4.5-inch heel pumps, you know, who was talking about her not being able to select a beauty salon or stylist, you know, for her friend's wedding, and then creating an app, you know, that will help all these, you know, working at home salonists from Sri Lanka, but beauticians, before I get caught in something there, you know, and so a lot of them work from home. They've got a little workstation there, and they always say that, and they told her that their trouble is finding customers, right, and even how to market in this huge expanse of digital space. So she's created an app to help solve that problem, and there was one guy, very interesting, who was trying to say that he can solve the way we charge our mobile phones using Wi-Fi signals.
Oh.
Yeah, you have a small device attached to your phone, and you can actually tap on a Wi-Fi signal and help you recharge your phone, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, that could go a long way. It's nice to hear.
And there were so what was good about him was that I think he learned this from the pre-accelerator. He pointed out other people doing that already, and that's never a bad thing. And then when you say there are others doing this, and then what do you say? Look, that means that there's potential in this market. That's why others are there. And then, but look, me and my team, we believe we can solve the problem, right? Mm. That's all. You can never just be, oh my God, there's no Ceylonese restaurant in Puchong. I'm going to be the first one to set it up, right? Just picking up on the salon thing. Right? But so very interesting with this startup. And you know, the one thing is that the business models are still the same. Mm. Whether it's ad-based, it's subscription-based. But what's interesting is now I'm beginning to see data sales. So a lot of them were talking about when we do this stuff, we can crunch data and we can sell that data to various salons or, you know, various property, you know, companies and all that. Very interesting. There was one guy trying to do a virtual property exhibition. And I said, wait a minute, you're up against, you know, Property Guru and iProperty and the Stars Property Portal, and then you go Edge Markets. How are you going to do it? And he said that he and his friend run a digital agency that helps developers, property developers, to market their product digitally. And they see this is a pain point. So I said, okay, maybe you have seen something. Power to you, because you're really gutsy to go out and do that, because you've got big players out there. And if they think it works, they will repeat the same thing, right? If there's no copyright on the idea you're going to execute.
Yeah.
But people are just brave. And I met a student who's on his break now, and he was part of a team that was trying to build a food app, and they call it the Tinder, kind of cheeky, of food apps. And they were actually one of the three that were judged as the top three. Yeah? But he says that if this gains traction in the next few months, he will not go back to school. So apparently he's supposed to go back to school in the US in January, but he will delay it, and he says his parents are fine with that. And I see a lot of the risk appetite becoming higher among people out there too, which is all good, right? You need more people to be willing to be bold and take risks and do silly things, and then, you know, something good will come out of that. So it was really good to go and listen to that.
Now, moving along, you attended a pre-launch briefing by TM yesterday on their impending launch of the new Unify packages. So what were some key takeaways that you can share?
I think
share?
So. We signed an NDA now. While they're going to announce new Unify packages and they shared some of the data with us, we cannot talk about that. But they wanted to just share their thinking and mindset behind it. And I think it was very interesting. They put up a lot of charts and they compared with one particular company out there and say, look, you know, versus these guys, you know, we offer you unlimited experiences, unmatched choices, and unbeatable value. So they're using the word un, right, in a catchy way. Just reinforcing the point that, you know, while people seem to think that, you know, Malaysia broadband is expensive, and then they explain, like, if you compare it to Cambodia, it's really non-pan. Vietnam, some of the cities, it's not urban, it's not rural, it's not suburban, it's not rural. Whereas in Malaysia, because TM, and they said that TM is also doing things not just with a profit motive, you know, with how it can move the nation forward. And the guy making the presentation challenges, he said, go and check the annual reports of the three other listed telcos, see whether you find nation-building agenda part of a key metrics for them. And I would say so, we'll do, which means that you sometimes want to do things that may not be commercially beneficial. But of course, the cynics will say, hey, that's why the government gave TM a few billion dollars to launch, you know, Unify, right?
Yeah.
When they did in 2008, and they've got money, they're going to get some money from the government to launch HSBB2 too. Mm-hmm. So that's the counter argument. But what I found interesting was that Telecom, the conversation that they're having internally is interesting, because he said there was a lot of debate and argument internal about how to do this right, whether to raise prices or bring prices down or do this, do that. And I found that very healthy for them to admit. Even within Telecom, you know, there's arguments going on. And everything now in Telecom is centered around how do we make the customer's life easier, whether it's a business customer or a home customer? And apparently next month they're going to have a little launch internally to now internalize this, that, you know, anything that they want to do now, the question they ask each other is, does that make the customer's life easier?
Mm.
That's an easy question to ask, but a hard one to
solve,
right?
To solve, yeah.
And one of the telecom executives said that, look, they've actually got a telco and they've got a digital company, meaning a P1. And to merge these together is actually very complex and very hard. But telecom is making the effort to do that. Simplicity, she said, is a complex thing to deliver. But if we want to be sustainable moving forward, that's what we have to do.
Mm.
So very interesting, very like MNC-based, you know, global company thinking, you know, that I see being adopted in telecom.
All right.
And I'll just share with you one thing on a data point, which is that all of us kind of picked up on one data point that they shared about the new unified service. And they said, why did you pick this amount, right, as the threshold? And they said that they asked 10,000 customers of their customer, 10,000 and not 1,000, three questions about why are you still on your package? You know, why aren't you moving up to the next package? Whether you're on 5 megs, not to 10, 10, not to 20. And they said out of the top three reasons all the customers gave, they said this particular point was not in the top three, which means it's actually not important. You may highlight it, hey, that's important, but in reality, user behavior shows not. And they said that they are monitoring the data usage. 90% of customers don't cross that threshold when they use their Unify. So they said for the 10% that do, we say, hey, we've got this package suitable for you.
Mm.
So they are not clueless. Sometimes you like to think big companies lumbering, moving slow. I think these guys are clued in and you're going to see something interesting happen. And one of the leading telco consultants in the country said, you know, Karam, people consistently underestimate Telecom Malaysia, but if you look at what they've done over the past few years, they've actually surprised the market and they've moved actually very fast and they've moved on strategy, and the strategy has been very spot on.
All right.
So we'll see. Having said that, Telecom is not a sponsor advertiser of DNA. I don't just think I'm saying it because it's only giving us some moolah.
Yeah, people will be wondering, like,
yeah,
Karam
no,
suddenly
no,
so
yeah,
nice
exactly.
to Telecom.
No.
It's just pure honesty that we're
talking. Of course. I mean, honesty is, that's our mantra, right?
Yeah.
You want to be the most credible tech media in Southeast Asia.
Mm.
You cannot but be, right?
All right. Now, as finally, honest. After 3 years, DNA is finally organizing its own conference.
Woo!
What is the focus of this tech conference?
Yeah, man. Well, obviously, the impact is my beard has already gone white, you know. So really, we want to keep it. So we were talking about honesty. You know, we want to keep it real also, Jeff. And so the way to keep it real is to make sure that it's relevant to the people who are attending it. So now, it's actually not a technology conference. It's a business conference because we're talking about technology's impact on business, right? And which is why we don't bring in coding language into this, right? I don't talk about how many of these 10 startups, you know, the pitch the other day, were using Ruby on Rails. And of course, with Frida there, you know, straight away, she'll veer the conversation to the price of rubies in the market. So, our precious gems are so expensive, right? And you don't talk about stuff like that, right? It just gets confusing. So we look at it at a business angle, and this is a business-focused conference, and we're targeting people from corporate strategy and innovation who are working in large companies. Why? Large companies, they've got the most customers, right? They've got billions of revenue. I think the top 79 companies out of the top 100 in KLSE have got a billion ringgit in revenue a year. So these are the guys who have the most to lose if they don't get that transition right. Mm. And what is this transition? With the way all of us are adopting digital, our behavior is changing because of digital, right? And with that changing behavior, our expectations of how maybe we want our service providers to relate with us, whether it's our automotive company, whether it's your insurance company, whether it's your bank, whether it's your telco, the hospital is going to be different, or your doctors, right? It's going to be different. So we want to talk about how consumer behavior being changed, catalyzed by, you know, digital technologies, is going to impact or already impacting, you know, existing brick and mortar businesses out there. And we've got some speakers coming in from Manoj, who runs Frost & Sullivan, you know, in Asia Pac. We've got Dato' Larry Gunn, you know, cool guy, one of the really, you know, interesting entrepreneurs who's always made bets on disruptive technology. He's not going to be speaking. He's actually going to be a panel. Well, he is speaking, but he's a panel member.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be on podium talking for 15, 20 minutes. Then you've got Ivan Tay as part of the same panel with him, and Dr. Gabriel Walter.
Right.
Just going to talk about disruptors. You know, caution, you know, speed bumps, sinkholes, and you know, major blockages on the road, because being disruptive is not easy.
So when
so
is
it's,
this?
Oh, it's, so you can go to the website and check, but it's on the 29th of September.
All right.
So you can
and
check
the website,
digitalnewsasia.com. You can see the banner ad there and you can go check out the link. But I think we're trying to make it very relevant to the people who come attend.
Okay.
Then it's relevant to them, right? You go for so many conferences and the topic is interesting, and then suddenly they're wearing off and talking about something else, and it's frustrating, right? So we've got a very interesting main speaker
September,
also,
September 29, you have your one. September 11, BFM has our...
So obviously, you've got to go for the BFM one first, you know, and then you can come for our...
So BFM one is about unlocking your growth potential. Wow. Like, you know, how do you expand to countries like ASEAN and so forth. Okay. And then you can go for DNA's one because that is about using technology.
Yeah, while you expand, you make sure your own market is not being eaten up by the nimble...
Like for all entrepreneurs out there who's listening, your September is filled up.
It's filled. And
breakaway, September 11.
And not just entrepreneurs, large companies too, right? Yeah. You're professional managers and you're running a large, you're part of a large company. Come and listen and network and appreciate some of the key trends that are happening. Because some of these trends are happening today in our lives and we don't even realize them, right? They kind of sneak up on you.
All right. Yeah. I don't think we have time to do the reading list.
Yeah, no problem.
The reading list is just all on digitalnewsasia.com.
everything that Aswan chooses to run on DNA is your reading list, man.
So, you can find out all the information that we talked about on digitalnewsasia.com. You can also find out the link to the conference on digitalnewsasia.com. And that's also the Enterprise Breakaway, that's happening on September 11, and that's on bfm.my/breakaway. So too many events on
September.
I'll
be going for that, man.
Yes, we'll see you there. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Chuck-a-day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.